Revelation chapter 1. We have been looking at reigning in life. Hallelujah. How many of us got something yesterday? The pattern of praying when we come together is not, the emphasis in these meetings has not been the length of time, but the effectiveness of the prayer. So most of the time we pray for about 30 minutes or so, but then the effectiveness is backed up by the leading of the Spirit, because as the Word of God is taught, I'm just trying to explain the process to us, as the Word of God is taught, something opens up on our inside. We see things more clearly. We're more emboldened to pray. And then we're led to pray in specific ways that may be different from the way you've prayed all day, because that's more, has more to do with something corporate, something that we come together to do, to accomplish. And so as you stand up, as you receive truth and clarity, your faith, so to speak, rises. You know, Paul's prayer for us in Philemon and verse 6 says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by what? The acknowledging of every good thing, which is what? In you, in Christ Jesus. Say, I have faith. So you have faith. Because many times when we don't get answers in certain areas of life, or we try something, we don't get results, there's a tendency to think, is it that I lack faith or I don't have faith? But the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. I have faith. My faith is the faith of Christ. Hallelujah. The same faith that brought him out of the grave, that's the faith that's in my heart right now. But then the Word of God teaches us, what then do I need to do? It says that the communication of your faith, that's the expression of your faith, may become effectual. So something has to happen for your faith to find participation. And that thing that's meant to happen is the same thing that we find in most of Paul's letters when he says we should pray. So in Ephesians 1, to do like a quick recap, we saw yesterday about the fact that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So I explained to us, what does it mean to be blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies? Why is he emphasizing the heavenlies? It's because you can be blessed with all physical blessings in the natural. So there are physical blessings which are material, there are spiritual blessings. Christ is not a natural king. He is a spiritual king. To be blessed with all spiritual blessings simply means to be accorded all the honor, all the benefits that has to do with the Godhead. That's what it means. Should I say that again? To be blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies means to be accorded all the honor and all the benefits that has to do with being in union with the Godhead. And that's significant. Hallelujah. That's significant. And I said that the reason why we're going over some of these truths again is because you never pick up spiritual truths hearing them once. Nobody does. It takes a while for spiritual realities to sink in, to dawn upon us. They are real, they are tangible, but they are not in the realm of the senses. So think about it this way. From the day you were born, your senses received an education in natural things. From the day you came born again, you are meant to receive an education in spiritual things. Because you are no longer just a natural being, you are a spiritual being that lives in the natural realm. Hallelujah. So the Word of God is a revelation of who we are, what we have, and what we're capable of doing. The Word of God, particularly the epistles, is a revelation of who we are, what we have, and what we're capable of what doing. So, a believer will do himself a world of good to consult the epistles regularly. If you don't do that, you will develop a victim's mentality. The world that we live in will automatically give you a victim's mentality. In other words, you will elevate experiences above the Word of God. Do we experience negative things? Yes. Are we above negative things? Yes. But that you experienced it doesn't mean it's your reality. That's where the challenge is. So we pray, but how do we pray? We have to pray with an understanding. We have to pray. I always say this, Every believer can work miracles. Every believer can manifest signs and wonders. It's our DNA. That's how we're born. Struggle only starts when we don't comprehend what we have and who we are. So when we look at God's word over and over and over, it is to ensure that the image and the revelation seeps in our consciousness at the six. God has, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. In who? In Christ. And that's tremendous. So there is nothing more God can do for a man. Let me say it another way. There is nothing more God can do for a being. There is no other honor that God can accord a being that has not been accorded us in Christ Jesus. And that's serious. All the honor, the highest honors that can be accorded any spirit being was given to us in Christ Jesus. So in Ephesians 1, from verse 3 all the way to verse 14, we saw yesterday how Paul began to itemize what does it mean to be blessed with all spiritual blessing. Paul told us that the implication is this, that we have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before him in love. You know what it means to be chosen? It means there was a careful selection process. By believing in Christ, you were chosen. So notice, you were chosen implies you had nothing to do with it. All you did was believe. When you believed, you were chosen. So God's plan was that if you make this choice by believing, I have also made a decision that once you are in Christ, you are holy and without blame before me because of my love. If he's telling you you're holy and without blame, automatically it means that there are things you will do, but he's saying those things won't count against you because of where you are. Say you are holy and without blame before him in love. Him in love. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be. He's enumerating. What does it mean to be blessed with spiritual blessing? Those things are not physical blessings. Now, let me say it another way. The Bible says God is a spirit, isn't it? And they that what? Worship him must do what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God is a spirit, as a spirit, when he wants to bless, the greatest blessings God will have to honor or to bestow on a man, will it be physical or spiritual? It will be spiritual. So how do we know spiritual blessings surpass physical blessings? Because it took the spiritual to create the physical. It didn't take the physical to create the spiritual. So if it took the unseen to bring forth what is seen, the unseen must be greater than what? The seen. Hallelujah. So when he says he is choosing you, verse 5 says, because he has predestinated you unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Adoption simply means he placed you as a son, the placement of sonship. He already said that if you believe in Christ, you automatically become a son. You don't work for it. That means God agrees he personally gave you birth. Then the next one now says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in what? In the beloved. That phrase simply means that the same standing that Jesus has is the same standing that you have. Who is he calling the beloved? Jesus. Who are you now in Christ? Beloved. Say, I'm the beloved. Say, I'm beloved of God. That's important. Okay. So the next verse now says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to what? The riches of his grace. Now, even I wanted to go a slightly different direction. I'm going to have to say something about that. According to whom we have, that is in the beloved, that is in Christ. We have what? We have what? We have what? We have what? What does redemption mean? What does redemption mean? What does redemption mean? The forgiveness. It takes a while for those things to settle in. Because, again, when you hear forgiveness of sins, what registers on our mind is pardon for sins. That's the issue. Forgiveness of sins exceeds pardon for sins. Don't mix it up. The best way they could say it in English was forgiveness. The Greek word is aphesis. It means a wiping out, a blotting out of existence, such that it will never be recorded or counted again. That's what it means. So it's even from pardon. What Abraham had was a pardon. What David had was a pardon. What Joe and I have is forgiveness. It says redemption, which is what? The forgiveness of sins. So pay attention now. Redemption, forgiveness of sins, and new nature are synonymous. Redemption, forgiveness of sins, and a new nature are synonymous. Synonymous means that you can interchange them. They mean the same thing. If a man is in Christ, he has forgiveness of sins. What does it mean to have forgiveness of sins? It means he has been redeemed. What does it mean for him to be redeemed? It means he's the son of God. They all mean the same thing. They're just different ways of saying the same thing. It depends on which side you are looking at. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. How? According to the riches of his grace. What's the word grace? God's lavish goodness. He now uses the word riches. The word riches stands for abundant. So he says God's lavish goodness is so abundant, he brought you redemption, which actually means the forgiveness of your sins. So again, pay attention. What was the gospel that they preached in the early church? What they preached was forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 2. Put your hand there. Let's look at that first sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. Let's go to verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The remission of sins and forgiveness is talking about the same thing. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of God, for the remission of sins, which is the same as what? Forgiveness of sins. It means the same thing. And we can go to different texts, but let's look at Paul's way of putting it in Acts chapter 13. We can read from verse 32. Acts chapter 13 from verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Next verse. And concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said not this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Notice, go back to that verse, please. Notice what he said. Concerning that he raised him from the dead, another way of saying that is this, since or based on the authority of the resurrection. And resurrection means a man will no longer return to corruption. Pay attention. You see, when you are studying again, don't be casual about the words that you see. Don't just say he's talking to David. No, he said something to David that David didn't understand, that Paul is now explaining to us. Listen, Jesus was not the first person to die. Jesus was not the first person to be raised from the dead. Jesus was the first person to resurrect. Let me say that again. Jesus is not first person to die. He's not first person to be raised from the dead. He's the first person to what? Resurrect. Is it different from being raised from the dead and resurrection? Yes. Lazarus was raised from the dead. In fact, Lazarus, if he was to die and to be raised, he surpassed Jesus. He was there for how many days? How many days? How many days was Jesus dead? Just 3. Look at the way I said just, as though you can't even be there for one day. That's why I can afford to be dead for one day. No, I'm just letting you see that. If it's about dying and being raised, there is nothing too special. It has happened to some people. On the earth here, ministers of God have raised people that were 4 days dead. So it wasn't the raising from dead that was the issue. It was the resurrection. So Lazarus died and was raised. Guess what? He died again. But look at the testimony of Jesus. Concerning that he raised from dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of... What are the sure mercies of David? Resurrection. Just really contextually. Don't leave this verse and go somewhere else. Are you following? Don't read this verse and go somewhere else. Read it and keep it in context. The resurrection is the sure mercy of David. That was why, even though David was speaking in the place of Christ, when he said, that will not leave my soul in hell, in that will you suffer that wouldn't want to see corruption. Peter said to us, David is dead and gone, and his sepulchre is with us to this day. But being a prophet, and knowing that God has said from his loins, he will raise up a king to sit upon the throne, he said concerning him, thou will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you suffer that only want to see what corruption. So he said, David saw corruption, but he, whom God raised, saw no corruption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, can we look at it this way? What is corruption? The effect of physical death. Okay, so is it safe to say by resurrection, Jesus not only overcame spiritual death, but he overcame physical death? Is it safe to say that? But in whom God raised saw no corruption. Now, in his own purpose, he said, concerning that God has raised someone from dead, now no more to return. Not to return simply means that he is divorced from anything that has to do with decay and death. Which means that if he overcame, let me put it another way. In his resurrection, he overcame spiritual death. But beyond free spiritual death, he also overcame what? Physical death. Now, in him right now, have we overcome spiritual death? Have we overcome spiritual death? So, what does resurrection mean to us? What does resurrection mean to us? Our overcoming of physical death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Is death. What kind of death? It's physical death. Physical death is a consequence of spiritual death. So let's read it. If the cause has been taken care of, you can look at physical death as a symptom. Which is stronger, the cause or the symptom? The cause or the symptom? So if you take care of the cause, what happens to the symptom? So is it possible? Okay, let me use a natural illustration so I get it. Is it possible for a man to have malaria fever? You went to the hospital, you did a test, and they noticed that the parasite level was high. And they give you a combination of medication, which is guaranteed to kill it. And I've had people ask questions like that. And because I talked to medical doctors back then a lot of times, so I found out some information. One of the things I found out is that if you use malaria medication, it will kill all the parasites. The problem is that in the process to kill red blood cells also. So a lot of times, blood ends up being drained from the brain, which leads to severe headache. So here's the problem. After 3-4 days, the parasites are dead. The drain of the blood is causing headache. You now tell yourself the malaria has not gone. Well, it is gone, but the symptoms are still there. How many of you see the difference? So they would usually tell you when you are taking medication, take analgesics for 3 days while you are using an after to combat that. Some even tell you, take blood, blood tonic to boost you, because the problem with those medications that it not just kills the parasite, it also kills valid blood cells. So when the cause is taken care of, the symptoms resolve themselves. So if you don't know the fact, you will see the symptom and embrace the cause and say it's still there. So what did Jesus accomplish? He overcame death, hell, and the grave. The death he overcame there is primarily spiritual death. In the resurrection, he overcame physical death as well. Because if, let's look at it this way, if God experimented with Jesus, and Jesus not only overcame spiritual death, but by rising from the dead, not seeing corruption for that period of time, he's telling you, through this man, every other man too can overcome physical death. Hallelujah. Okay, what are we looking at? Forgiveness of sins. Is this big? So the next time you think forgiveness of sins is the things I did last year, my sin of omission and commission. You don't know the gospel. Jesus didn't die for something that small. So there's something bigger. For the Bible says, there is therefore now. No, condemnation is not physical, it's a spiritual force. Before you can make that sentence, something has to be done with the receipt available. Let me say that. Something has to have been done, spiritually speaking, and the receipt of what was accomplished must be available. That receipt is the life of God that you and I have now. Let me say it. The receipt of what Jesus accomplished is the life that we now have. That's the receipt. So there's therefore now no condemnation. It's not a function of the way you feel. Is a spiritual state of being and status. It doesn't mean you won't feel condemnation. It simply means condemnation is not your lot, not your portion, and it should not actually dominate you. That's what it means. Let me give an illustration so you get it. Several years ago, when our first daughter was in primary school, so she's kind of person that gets bothered about if they're making general announcements in school, anything they say in school, buy person, buy this one, she will come home, or buy, even when they're not talking to her, buy this one, buy this one. Anything they say, she will take it on her head. She must do. Even the one that is optional for parents, she will come home and tell you it is compulsory. They say we should. So one time I have to go and tell her, please be careful the way you talk to this girl, because she will not let us rest at home. Until we now call her, we were not talking to her. So one day in assembly, they were announcing generally, all those who have not paid their school fees should not come to school tomorrow. Yeah, that's generally. So she now came and said that, daddy, they said we should not come tomorrow. I said, who said that? I said, that in my school. I said, who said that? Said, in your, where did they say it? I said, who said it? Said the head teacher. I said, what did they say? He said that we should not, everybody who has not paid should not come tomorrow. I said, what you said? They said, you said, yes. I said, anybody who has not paid. I said, who told you have not paid? I said, have I paid? So I said, before you resume the term, you have paid. I said, so they were not addressing you. If you impose that illustration to the world, there are many things that are sent in your direction. You are not the one that's been addressed. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Your sentence has been decided by God. So also is your status, your destination was decided by Him. So they will say some things to you, but you are not the one who's been addressed. The old man's been addressed. You are a new man in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You understand? So the forgiveness of sins is the theme of the gospel, because inside the forgiveness of sins, we find righteousness, we find our authority. Without forgiveness of sins, a man can't have authority or righteousness. You can't have it. So they are all connected. Romans chapter 5. Okay, before we leave here, let's look at Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. Let's look at Paul's testimony. Acts 26, verse 13. Acts 26. Look at Paul narrating his experience on the road to Damascus. Let's look at what Paul says. He says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining about me, and then we journeyed with me. And when we all fall into the earth, I had a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Yes. And when I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Next verse. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Yep. Next verse. So open their eyes. So where their eyes open. No, where their eyes open. So okay, let me say, where their eyes physically open. Where their eyes open as far as God is concerned. No. So the unbelievers' eyes are closed. You need to see that. The unbelievers, in fact, one of the ways you know their eyes are closed is that they will tell you they know and they don't know. They actually don't know. The artist, the Bible calls him a fool, says there's no God. That's proof he doesn't know anything. He's blind. So some of the most intellectually sound men upon the earth are artists. And the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. So the most intellectually sound men upon the earth, who are without Christ, the Bible calls them fools. That's serious. Because they're fools. This is to open their eyes from what? Darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. So can we equate darkness and the power of Satan as the same? Okay. So to open their eyes to turn them from darkness to light. Opening eyes and light, are they synonymous? So, how do you open the eyes of somebody who is spiritually blind? How do you do that? You preach the gospel. So he begins to see, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 4:3, what does it say? If our gospel be hid, it is each of them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ should shine unto us. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. If our gospel be it, it is it to them that are lost. What does it mean to be lost? A womb, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those that believe not. So he says to open the... Okay, thank you. So, who is me? Your God should shine unto them. Let's go back to that. Acts 26:13. So to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto... So is it safe to say in the ignorance of the gospel is where the power of Satan reigns? Is it safe to say that? Good. Let's read on. So that they may receive... This is a very serious statement. That they may receive. That phrase "they may receive" simply means something is offered. It is not going to be offered the day you preach the gospel to them. It has been offered. The gospel makes them realize it is now offered. What happens when their eyes are open is that they see what is offered, then they receive it. They take it. So something has been offered. It has been offered 2,000 years ago. When you preach the gospel, the scales fall from man's eyes. He see what is offered and what takes it. See what I'm saying? Then they receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance are what? Among them which are sanctified by what? Faith that is in me. Next verse. Okay, look. Let's go back to last verse. Verse 18 again. So, look at that. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto... So, where does the kingdom of Satan operate? God has blessed us with all... Where? Okay. I'm going to jump and then we'll come back. Where are we seated? Where are we seated? Where are you seated now? In Noble House chair. You are sitting on chair here. Noble House. Where are you seated in Christ? Where is seated in Christ? In the heavenlies. So when it says to turn them from the power of Satan unto God, where is the power of Satan according to 2 Corinthians 4:3? In the hearts of men. Let me say that again. The power of Satan and the kingdom of Satan are the same thing. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. You need to get this because this is a reality. Pay attention because Nollywood. Nollywood. When you hear the kingdom of Satan now, you've seen movies where he sat on a throne. He was having a meeting with his people. In his kingdom. Which kingdom? You think there's a meeting place? Some even went far under the water. They have a meeting there. Those things exist in the imagination of men. When the Bible clearly says he goes to and fro, when did he have time to sit? No, let's allow the Bible to tell us what's happening. But in the place they have shown, he has the 26, then he sends them. And he's seated. But the Bible says that he says it goes to and fro. Alright. So we're speaking. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spiritual wisdom and what? Revelation in the epignosis of him." Now, what knowledge is epignosis? That's intimate knowledge, factual knowledge, active knowledge. It's talking about specific facts. You don't just know something about it, you know the details about it. So when we say predestination, you know what it means. Accepting the beloved, you know what it means. In the knowledge of him. Why is Paul praying? You can't do anything about what he has done because you didn't make it happen. You can't undo what he has accomplished, but you may not necessarily enjoy it. So why is he praying? He says, "I'm praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will grant you spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, the epignosis of him." So he's talking about you knowing line upon line, precept upon precept, about what happened behind the scenes. Why is it praying? You should know it has taken place, but your knowing brings you into the exercise of it. Hallelujah. So you are not to do anything about it because it has been done. The tragedy will be that though it has been done, though you have been accorded full honors, not to walk in the reality of what you have been accorded. Hallelujah. See, let me read for that. See what it says in verse 18. Verse 19 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." That is flooded with light. What light? Light is all that has been accomplished. You just see it as it happened. You see what it means. You see the reality of what has taken place. The eyes of your understanding being flooded with what? Light. Let me put it this way. As you have natural understanding about events in your life, you have natural understanding about how to drive a car. You have natural understanding about how long it takes to cook certain meals. It says you have that understanding of that which cannot be seen with the physical eye. It should become clear to you the same way other forms of knowledge are what clear to you. That's what he's saying. The eyes of understanding being flooded with this light. It calls what Jesus has done light. Because it is there, only it's not in the seen realm or it's not in the realm of the senses. And whatever is not in the same realm of senses must come by revelation. Revelation means that which is covered should be uncovered. Hallelujah. You know, for instance, man, if you see angels now, when you see them, it's not when they came. When you see them is when the covering was lifted. So, what is the covering upon you right now? The covering of the senses. When it's lifted, which part of you begins to see? The spirit man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says, there has been the sun being enlightened that you may know what is what? The hope of his calling. Then I said, the word hope there means anticipation. A joyful expectation of something that is going to happen. Word call means an invitation. Every time the word calling is used in the scriptures, with the exception of two times, he's talking about salvation. Funny enough, he's not even talking about ministry. That's the interesting part. The word calling. The word calling always refers to salvation. That's the interesting part. The hope of your calling is talking about the invitation received, kaleo, as a call that one. You were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So when he called you, what do you think gave him the audacity to call you? When he called you, what do you think he was calling you into? That's what he means by calling him. So the hope or the expectation behind the call. Did God have an expectation? Should you have an expectation? That's what he's saying. So that when you were called, it wasn't just a casual thing. It was a serious matter. You were called into something. What should you expect to see and to experience now that you are called? That's what he's talking about. The hope of his calling. See what he says again. And where are we now? You know what is the hope of his calling? And what the riches or the abundance of his glory of his what? Inheritance. Say inheritance. Say have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. I didn't work for it. He worked for it. Then he gave it to me. I used a phrase yesterday. Who can remember what I said yesterday about inheritance? Worked for. Thank you. So if we look at God in that light, what does it mean to have an inheritance? Because the weight of an inheritance is dependent on who gives it to you. Okay? That's what it means. If the person of reason God gives you an inheritance now, we can measure it. You'll be excited to a degree. If the richest man in Africa, whose name you know, gives you an inheritance, how much more excited will you be? Much more excited. Why will you be excited? You know he's the richest man in Africa. If Bill Gates gives you an inheritance, you just walk around and tell people, I am made for life. My generation cannot be broke again. I don't need to work. I don't need to work. If I mention my name is now DG Gates. Why would you be rejoicing? You know what is what. I think the richest man, was it Jeff Bezos or something like that? Is it the one? Jeff Bezos or something like that. So, they say that man just gave you an inheritance. Within 1 week, you have several new friends. You just be having friends. Just that people just seem to just like you. You are not interesting for them. So many people are very interested. They will be greeting you differently where you go. You'll be wondering why commissioners are interested in knowing you and meeting you. They invite you for functions you have never gone before in your life. It's because of the value of the inheritance. So here's what we now said. Imagine God worked and labored. He now gave you what he worked for. You suppose whatever God works for will be valuable. So it is God who worked. You are the one who got the results. That's serious. And the inheritance is spiritual in nature. Hallelujah. It's spiritual in nature. It will seem like a digression, but it's not a digression. Look at Matthew chapter 4, because we said heavenly, spiritual, immaterial. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Look at the temptation of Jesus. So you see something. Look at the temptation of Jesus. And the devil said unto him, oh, let's go to the previous verse. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The word kingdom means a place of dominion, where you exercise authority. That's what kingdom means. It's a concatenation of two words, king and dominion, or king and domain, where a king exercises dominion. Okay? So he says, look at what the, that's what the devil did. Look at next verse. What did Satan say? He said unto him, all this power or authority will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I want, I give it. Is he talking about nations, or is he talking about men? Nations or men? Who rules those kingdoms? Does Satan spend money? Is there anything like devil's money? Talk now. Okay. So when he showed him all the kingdoms and said that all the glory has been delivered unto me, what is he talking about? The authority he exercises over the hearts of men. That's what he's talking about. There's no country that belongs to Satan. He's a thief. He owns nothing. He sees everything. Interesting. He doesn't own anything. He sees everything. Psalm 24 verse 1 is still true. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Pastor, the food was offered to idols, so it belongs to Shango. An idol is nothing in the world. Pastor, is an idol is what? Nothing. So the meat doesn't belong to him. Who does the meat belong to? To God. The meat belongs to God. The owner of a cattle on 1,000 hills. So after they offered the cattle to him, to an idol, and they finished cooking it, who does it still belong to? Let's be sincere. Okay, let me. You offered a cow to nothing. What has happened to the cow? Nothing. It's nothing. Who named that thing something? Men. What does God call that thing? Nothing. God is saying the status you gave that thing is non-existent because that thing is nothing. It was men who cooked up a name. Has God ever introduced somebody to you and said that this is the vice deputy of Satan? You know. It is men that come up with those things. So when Satan told Jesus, Jesus didn't say you are lying because it wouldn't be a temptation. He was saying that I have authority over the souls of men. And we just read 2 Corinthians 4. A womb, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those that believe not. Where does Satan rule? In the hearts of those who what? Believe not. That's how he operates. So Jesus' kingdom is not physical. It is spiritual in nature. That's important. Look at John chapter 18, verse 36. Let me show you something else so you see it clearly. John 18, verse 36. This is Jesus answering Pontius Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then will my servants do what? They will fight. That I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from. Why didn't Jesus physically fight those that came to arrest him in the garden? His kingdom is not a physical kingdom. Oh, glory to God. When you hear true death, he destroyed that power of death. You know Jesus died deliberately. Listen, listen. When Jesus was captured, he was in control. Think about it. Men came to capture you. Whom do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. They fell backward and fell down. Then they got up. What happened? What happened there? Who pushed me? Anyway, he said, I asked you, what are you looking for? He said, Jesus said, I have told you, I mean, let these other people go. So he handed himself over so that the disciples could be free. That is John's rendering. When you go to look at Matthew, you see some interesting parts. When you go to Matthew, Peter, took sword. Jesus was praying in the garden, he used sword. Peter took sword. He put the sword. And when they came to arrest, he cut off. Which part did he cut off? Do you suppose he was aiming for the ear? This is here. He missed the neck. So you think he was aiming for the ear? No. Do you know the precision you need to cut off somebody's ear? He was aiming for the neck. It was a mistake.
He just missed the head. He just cut off the ear. Do you know what Jesus did? He waited, took the ear, took time to put it back before he allowed him to be arrested. That is somebody in charge. Oh my goodness. He gave himself up to die. He was not forced to die. He wasn't killed. He surrendered himself. He looked at Peter and said, the cup which my father has given me, will I not drink it? What cup? Oh, glory to God. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that follows. He let go of all rights. Rights he could have had under the Old Testament. As a sheep was led to the shearers, his dumb, he opened not his mouth. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 was being fulfilled before them, and they didn't understand it. That is Isaiah 53 being fulfilled. He didn't open his mouth. When Jesus was on the cross, those thieves, they were accusing him, if you are really Messiah, save yourself and then save us. He opened not his mouth. What do you want him to say on the cross? Somebody that doesn't know how to speak death itself life. If you open his mouth, he will come down. Night will turn to day, and day into night. So he must not speak for your sake and for my sake. Hallelujah. He kept quiet for our sake. So the death was willingly done. Why? His kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual kingdom. So through death, he destroyed him. Hebrews 2:14. He destroyed him. And then because we're dealing with spiritual realities, I told you, when you go through the epistles, you now begin to see what really happened, because some of these things that are portrayed in some of these Christian movies are so wrong. They watch too much of WrestleMania. They are depicting the souls, they are acting out Jesus and somebody and the Satan fighting. Then Jesus gave him uppercut. And Satan fell down. And he just jumped on him. 1, 2, 3, winner. Very carnal reasoning. Very carnal reasoning. Satan is not a physical being. Jesus is not a physical being. When he was in hell, he wasn't physical. His body was on the earth. So it was spirit to spirit. What was Jesus dealing with? It wasn't even Satan directly was dealing with. It was what Satan was using that Jesus came to deal with. So by offering himself through death, he destroyed or paralyzed him that had the power of death. So this person had the dominion of death. What was he using a dominion? Sin. Jesus now became sin. So in becoming sin, when you pounce on him and he has died as sin, if sin is dead, what will judgment do? I'm trying to show you the spiritual activity that happened in hell. Because you think that when the Bible says in open combat, it's not sword, let's fight. No. What was Satan's hold over man? Spiritual death. True sin. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. By one man, sin entered the world. And death by sin. So, if instead of going after death, you go after what? Sin. If you take care of sin, what happens to death? Do you understand? So, he became sin. And when he became sin, he died as though he was a sinner. He took the judgment of sin upon himself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So through death, he destroyed him or took away from him what he was using to exercise death. That's what Jesus did to Satan. By becoming sin. He destroyed him, paralyzed him, had the power of death. That is the devil. That's Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Somewhere I want to see, but for as much as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise is part of the same. That through death he might paralyze him, that had what? Power of death, that is the devil. Next verse. And deliver them, or free them, or release them. Greek was apalasso. To release them, to let them go free. Those who through fear of what? Death. Where the fear of death come from? Because of the power of sin. Those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hallelujah. Say, I'm free. I'm free from the fear of death. I'm free from the power of sin. I'm in Christ Jesus. I live forevermore by the power of an endless life. I will never need to be afraid again. I'm God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. I stand strong, free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to me who am in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why we read Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54 verse 13. You will see that the weapon fashioned against you there is not talking about physical weapons. It's not talking about any man. You see, if you read contextually, you see. Isaiah 54, verse 13. You see, as well. All thy children shall be, the word shall, future, present, or past. Future, present, or past. Future, I can hear, future, present, or past. Future. So, is this a prophecy? Yes. So, all your children, children of Zion, they shall be taught of the Lord. What will be the result of the teaching? Do you know what it means to be in a place where you are just like, oh, okay, the war is over, it's settled. This is a prophecy concerning the church. All your children, they will be taught of the Lord. And great shall be what? I know we use our children, I know. Okay? And it's not wrong. But what it's talking about is a prophecy about the church. The children here is a reference to children that are born in Zion. So look at the next verse. In righteousness, that's the teaching, shall that be what? Established. Thou shalt be far from... For thou shalt not... What brings oppression? Fear. Fear. Remember Job's testimony. That which I greatly feared has come upon me. Job chapter 3. That which I greatly... You know what it means to greatly fear? It was developed in fear. Has now come upon me. So he says, you establish in righteousness. You'll be far from oppression, for thou shalt not... Why wouldn't you fear? You'll be established, you'll be taught of the Lord, and great shall be your peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. So he says, and from terror, for it shall not what? Come near thee. Next verse, quickly. Behold, they shall surely what? Gather together, but not by. So see what we're gonna. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Now go back to the previous verse. In righteousness shall that be established. You far from oppression, for you will not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near. So oppression and terror will gather. How will they gather? Through fear. How will they come? They will announce they are coming by condemnation. But if you are at peace because you established in righteousness, you will not be afraid. If you are not afraid, oppression is rather impotent. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Yeah. So look at next verse again. Verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy. Now, let me interpret that in today's language. Surely they will gather, so there will be attacks on your mind. Condemnation will come. What is God saying? I will never condemn you. I will never condemn you. So remember, when they are gathering, it is not me. I'm not the one condemning you. I'm not the one accusing you. It will never say, even though they will gather for your sake, say that they will still fall. Hallelujah. Because of who you are, because of what I've done, they will still fall. So the accusations will come. Never forget, it is not me that is speaking. It's that they are gathering together against you. Now, let me put it another way. When they gather together against you, doesn't that tell you in their gathering that you must be in a safe place? And that all they are doing is trying to make you fall. Condemnation always comes so that they can send fear ahead. And once fear prevails, oppression begins to come in. So when he says, surely they will gather, but not by me, whosoever or whatsoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is it that condemns? It's Christ that died. Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. So when he now jumps to verse, look at verse 17 because of time. Verse 17. No weapon. Is weapon natural or spiritual? Thank you. Apostle, are you saying we cannot use stop physical weapon? You can, no. Because whatever can stop a spiritual can overpower a natural one. But what is he talking about here? Spiritual weapon. What is it? Terror and fear. Through through oppression. That's what he's talking about. So he said, there is no weapon that is formed against thee. So this is God boosting from the Old Testament scriptures about the status and the standing of a new creation. That when I finish my work, there is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper. Where do you come from above? Where is the weapon coming from beneath? Whatever is from above, is above all. Because for a weapon that is fashioned against you to prosper, it has to be able to prosper against God. In fact, let's be further. So you see what it says. No weapon that's fashioned against you shall prosper. Every tongue that what? Rises. So you can see it's not talking about physical weapons. A tongue is talking about accusation. In judgment, you shall what? Condemn. What does you condemn? You answer back with the word of God. There is therefore now no condemnation concerning me in Christ Jesus. The law of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free. I'm no longer under the law of sin and consequence. I'm now operating the law of the spirit of life in Christ. I am free from all accusation. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of consequences because Christ has taken all the consequences. So he says, this is the heritage. What's the name of heritage? Thank you. Of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of. Do you suppose God's righteousness is strong enough? Do you suppose it's strong enough? What righteousness do you have? Except yours is counterfeit. Mine is original. I got it in the Son. Hallelujah. And it was strong enough to make me a son. I'm not afraid of fear in 2020. I'm not afraid of oppression in 2020. I see a year of bountiful fruitfulness and increase. I see a year of going from strength to strength. I see a year of all things possible. I see a year of accomplishing great things. With every subsequent month, greater things manifest on my behalf. I'm not afraid of making progress. I'm not afraid of expecting signs and wonders. I'm not afraid of expecting divine provisions. I know 2020 is my year. There's no weapon that's fashioned against me that will prosper. I'm on the increase and victory is my song. That song will never end. I will sing a new song every month because the victory will keep increasing. It will keep multiplying every month. My testimony will abound for all to see. All will see me as a living example of God's glory. Hallelujah. There's no weapon that's formed against me that will prosper. So I stand firm and strong in 2020. My laughter continues. My laughter continues unabated. My laughter increases as the days pass. For every day I see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I see the power of God working things out for me, bringing all I need to my doorstep. I see a year of no lack. I see a year of abundance on every side. I see a year of accomplishing every project I set out to do. I see a year where my hands prosper at all I attempt to do. I see a year where the favor of God compasses me like a shield. I see a year where things answer to my voice. I see a year where my authority is in great expression. I see a year where I have dominion over all areas of life. I see a year, 2020, a year of marvels, a year of signs and wonders, a year of glory. I see a year where the weight of God's glory in my life comes abroad for all men to see. I see a year where whatever I point at becomes mine automatically. I see a year when the manifestation of God's power, even that what I've experienced, will be surpassed by everything that I will see. I see a year where my celebration will never cease. I see a year where the goodness of God through me will bless many lives. I see a year where I'll be a giver because there will be no limit to my increase. I see a year where I abound in all areas of life. I see a year of obeying the master, fulfilling divine plan and purpose. I see a year that is grace, that is glorious. I see a year where I stand strong. No sickness or disease can be mentioned concerning me. I see a year where I'm strengthened by God's spirit in the inner man. I see a year where miracles, miracles, miracles until my name is called miracle. I see a year where I'm unstoppable. I see a year where I count it all joy in all situations. I see a year where fear is afraid of me. I see a year where sorrow is chased away by my presence. I see a year where disappointments are ashamed to come my way. I see a year where the enemy flees at my very approach. I see a year where men are delivered through me. I see a year where mighty works are wrought. I see a year where great things are brought to pass, even in prayer. I see a year of fervency, a year of seeing, a year of knowing. I see a year of operating on the frequency of heaven. I see a year of overcoming every attack of the enemy at every step. I see a year where shouts of joy and praises continually abound. I see a year of grace and much glory, a year of swimming through all things and all challenges that may hold us down. I see a year when nothing holds me back and nothing holds me bound. I see that year. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost tonight? As your brush, every sticker, la grasticker. Say, I see. I hear. I see by God. I hear by God. Rasta gonde. Elanantro subrashtia. As susabros of retika la griste. As susabros of ranange. And no, glakike, shibros the fredika nasta. All things are possible. A year of possibilities. A cardo. Ungriste subros the fredika asta. And no, shibronika. A kuglasta. Brust of ranankia. A kigungru sevras. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we're going to pray. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says that, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And what? And the power of his might. Let me interpret that in modern day. To be strong in the Lord, and power of his might means that in that which he has accomplished for you in Christ, let it be the source of your strength, your confidence, and boldness. It means walk in the reality of it. Let me tell you something, because we can use a natural illustration here. It's a terrible thing for a woman to carry a baby for 9 months, and at the point of delivery, there's no strength to push forth. It's a terrible thing. Because 9 months of suffering, just a few more minutes, and then no strength. You know what it means for a 9-month process to be aborted? It's a huge disappointment. So because when we're talking about the year of possibilities and miracles and signs and wonders, a lot of things will push those things forth. We're going to push those things forth. That is not the time of manifestation. That's not the time to get tired. To just get weary. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like confessing. I don't feel like, you just, for no reason, like I said, be strong in the Lord. And what? In the power of his might. Which is, there will be no disappointments of any kind. Everything you wanted to have, everything that God showed you and spoke to you about, you will see it through to the very end and receive full manifestation in the name of Jesus. We're praying that for ourselves and for our brethren. Let's pray the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. We are strong in the Lord, supernaturally strengthened, infused with might by God's Spirit in our inner man. We're able to bring forth according to the power that worketh in us. We bring forth without turning back, without giving up. No failure, zero failure rate. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we enjoy full manifestation in every area, in all that we strengthen our hands to do, personally, in career, in spiritual desires, in personal pursuits. We receive 100% result without palangri sekile gusto, a zero failure rate in 2020. Ngrasto dia kaste leshe bragaste kesiso broko. We don't take no for an answer in any area. In all areas, we experience the excellence of God's mighty power. The kratos of God, the iskuts, the dunamis is in operation. The kano brushte nianta legundo sivrani geliga dige. It has become a good work in us. And angry eshito kana gashte niyo subo nika. Eku gambro site yeshu brogota. There's no turning back. There's no giving up. We faint not. We receive. We faint not. There's a supernatural strength welling up within us. The might of Christ holds us steady, keeps us focused, holds us. We finish our course well in the name of Jesus. There's no turning aside, no distraction of any kind. Let new grass to buy a chuproni, a fritelachto, borigata. We receive the same strength for every member of this assembly. We reap amazing results.
we reap outstanding results. Likro bashte enango enankoba diela kashto yikro bietia sutoli galashte esibrongo pasemragata in this year of possibilities elegrosta esubrasto brakapo ebri 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 rakopa esibroko nagate yentre chio yentre chio yentre chio eneka kaste isubroka bratia etanantia nangatie ye mundro no ye mundro no ngatia aneko ekranso subrogotaga. No barrier, no hindrances, no difficulties is able to stand in our path or prevail. Opaniga is a walkover. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is a victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith, we overcome at every turn. The ability of God within us puts us over consistently and constantly. We hear good news. A testimony of victories abounds and multiplies in our midst, in our gardens. Ele Krustavrada, we experience numerical growth in our local assembly. We experience spiritual growth in our local assembly. We experience the same in the work of our hands. Libro Kushabra Gastia, we accept no excuse whatsoever. We forge ahead with the ability of God in progress. We forge ahead with the ability of God in supernatural increase, claiming increase, which is our portion. Metileba Brestukolanga Ekile Bronco Stavragato, with all steady, we all steady, propelled by the finger of God. God, prepared by the power of God. Libro Shimbra Dako Yeka Kasebre Dialako Brokota Gatia Esembre Chugobra Gachele Gege. We give no corner, we give no room, we give no place to the devil. Padiana Kobosia Esubropo Kalafra Takalo Brokota Gatia Ekaka. Such might, such power, such glory propels us. We run, walk, rush short over the enemy at every turn. Lena Komraga, our victory is overwhelming, our victory is loud. Our victory is clear. Our victory is clear. Our victory is loud. Our victory is clear. Our victory is loud. Alambo Kupa. Esebretia Kash Edianoko. Etile Lele Karapa. To our office magic. E Pionoka Kappa. And are made for us. Avenues are open unto 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 us supernaturally. We experience greater degrees of the operations of the Spirit, of the operations of angels, of the activity of angels in our individual lives in favor. Oh, Patile Graste Subrokushte. We give you praise, Father. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to do something before we go. This is Mrs. Lemoshi. I want to point your hand towards her and say after me, Mrs. Lemoshi, in the name, say after me, Mrs. Lemoshi, in the name of Jesus, your desire, your faith has met with divine approval. You have answer that you have believed for this season. We declare heaven's verdict, as you have believed, so shall it be in the name of Jesus. Let's give God praise. Let's give God praise. Let's thank Him. 2020, a year of supernatural possibilities. Let's thank Him. What will we do, God? Oh, we walk away. No way do we run. We don't faint. We mantle with wings as eagles. Glory to God. 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 Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Supernatural possibilities. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah.